Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Chaos Theory by Kelly Ann Blount and Lynn Rush. Narrated by Sarah Wellborn and Christopher P. Brown. Chapter 1. Victoria.
This?
My boyfriend, Todd, pointed from me to him and back to me.
Isn't working for me anymore.
The hard plastic tray in my hands trembled as his harsh tone rippled through my body. He did not just break up with me in front of everyone like this. Seriously, my boyfriend of almost 2 years was breaking up with me? In the cafeteria? Everyone around us morphed into nothing more than fuzzy images that somewhat resembled humans. Static sounded in my ears and my heart thudded painfully against my chest. The room fell eerily silent.
Excuse me?
My voice cracked as all the moisture in my mouth evaporated. Heat clawed its way up my neck. Todd's normally soothing blue eyes were cold.
I said we're over, done, through.
Oh my gosh. Someone whispered from behind me. Todd just dumped Victoria. Heat scoured my cheeks and my stomach clenched. This wasn't really happening, was it? I had to be in a nightmare or something. Any second, I'd wake up.
I tried to tell you after school yesterday.
Todd shrugged, then stole a glance at his friend, Matthew Halliday, who gave him a nod of encouragement as he held up his phone. That prick was recording this.
Oh, hell no.
If Todd wanted this to be public to humiliate me, he had another thing coming. I tossed my tray onto the closest table, rage bubbling to life in my stomach. So you were trying to tell me you wanted to dump me, huh? Was that in between shoving your tongue down my throat and trying to feel me up?
You wish,
Todd said, redness pooling at the apples of his cheeks. Oh, Gretchen Mead, Queen Bee of Twin River, said from nearby. I didn't bother to look, but I recognized her voice.
I wish, I huffed. Is this because I wouldn't have sex with you?
Gasps erupted around me. I didn't wait for him to respond.
You're an asshat, Todd. Whatever, Victoria, I'm done with you.
He and Matthew turned around and left me standing in the middle of the cafeteria, surrounded by tables filled with people laughing and pointing at me. My best friend, Mia, hadn't made it to the table yet, and my other friends that were standing by were also friends with Todd. So I stood there alone, and now that the heat of the moment was gone, I was totally embarrassed. How could he do this to me in front of everyone like that? And to claim he tried to tell me yesterday? Flat out lie. This didn't make any sense.
What's going on?
Mia's voice called out behind me. I whirled around, but then moved right past her, my blood thrumming and my eyes stinging. I'd been embarrassed enough already. I wasn't about to let myself cry in front of everyone, too. I planted my sweaty palms on the cold cafeteria door and pushed it open, then sprinted down the hallway until I hit the junior wing. A sharp left, then right turn, and I barged into the bathroom farthest away from the lunchroom. Farthest away from Todd, from the laughter. Tears streamed down my cheeks as the reality of what had just happened slapped me across the face. Todd had totally dumped me in front of everyone, 2 weeks before the school's biggest dance of the year, the Ice Ball, and Twin Rivers Ice Festival. Last year, we'd gone to the dance together, and we'd attended all of the town events together. Now I'd be alone. The door behind me slammed shut and I whipped around. Mia crept in, her eyes wide and her jaw tense. She showed me her palms like she was approaching a wild animal. And I felt like one inside. A wild, wounded animal forced into fight or flight.
I'd lost it on Todd in the lunchroom, but he had absolutely crushed me. Out of nowhere. He deserved it.
What happened?
Mia asked, stopping a foot or two from me. A sob caught in my chest as I sagged against the closest wall. The stalls were to my left and the sinks to my right, and Mia stood in front of me, watching me as she chewed her bottom lip. I let out a long breath, trying to calm myself as I slid down the wall until my butt hit the floor. I didn't even care how nasty it was right now.
Oh my gosh, Vic, talk to me. What happened?
She crouched in front of me.
Todd broke up with me.
My breaths came out hitched and ragged.
In front of everyone in the cafeteria, and Matthew recorded the whole thing. Gretchen probably did too. I heard her there.
A mixture of pain and anger clawed at my chest. Mia fell to her knees beside me, then pulled me in for a hug. Resting my head on her shoulder, I said,
"He didn't say anything about it yesterday. I went to his house after school and we kissed for like 3 hours.
Asshole.
She stroked my hair.
I'm so sorry, Victoria.
It doesn't make sense. I thought we were happy.
Mia didn't say anything, but I felt her arms tighten and then release. Wait. Gently easing back, I narrowed my eyes at her.
Did you know about this?
Her mouth opened, but nothing came out.
What did you know, Mia?
Nothing, she said. Well, mostly nothing.
What do you mean, mostly nothing?
Yesterday, I overheard Piper say something, but I figured it was gossip, especially since you and Todd hung out after school. I didn't want to worry you over some made-up bullshit, you know. Piper's always spreading rumors.
Shivers raced down my spine.
What did you hear?
Mia sighed. Nina told Piper that she overheard Matthew and Todd talking after school the other day. You know how she's like the assistant to the athletic trainer or whatever. Anyways, she was walking by them on her way to the field, and she heard Todd tell Matthew that some girl from East River Prep had been texting Todd. Allegedly, he asked her to the ice ball last night. She said she wouldn't go with him until he broke up with you. Fresh tears cascaded down my face. He'd been texting another girl while we were dating? Why didn't you tell me?
I thought it was just gossip, I swear.
I dropped my head into my hands. Things had been going so well with us, with me. I'd been worried when we moved to Twin River, worried I wouldn't make any friends, that I'd be too different. An LA girl living in the Midwest. That's like trying to stuff a shark into a goldfish bowl. I was convinced I wouldn't fit, but I'd met Mia right away, started dating Todd a couple months later. It had finally felt like I belonged. Until about 5 minutes ago.
How did I not see this coming?
'Cause he was hiding it,
Mia said quietly as she rubbed my back.
I thought Todd was one of the good ones, too.
I wasted almost 2 years of my life with that jerk.
I sniffled and swiped at my nose.
I even told him that I loved him. I've never said that to a guy before.
Todd sucks. You're amazing. Forget him. You can do 9,000 times better when you're ready. Until then, we're going to hang out, eat a lot of ice cream, and I'll even go to one of those live poetry nights that you like.
Mia hugged me again, and I buried my face in her hair. Thanks, Mia, for everything.
Of course, you're my bestie.
She eased back and looked down at me with her pretty light brown eyes. On the friend scale, she was a 10 out of 10. I was lucky to have her. Her phone dinged in her pocket. She reached for it, but then stopped.
Sorry.
No, check it. It's fine.
I worked my way to my feet. The world tilted slightly, so I palmed the wall and drew in a deep breath, smoothing my hand down the front of my shirt and brushing off a piece of lint from my jeans. I stepped toward the sinks. A disheveled, puffy-eyed girl stared back at me from the mirror. Freaking Todd Miller. I wiped the tears from under my eyes. When I'd gotten here 2 years ago, he'd swept me off my feet, and we'd started dating a couple months after I'd arrived. He'd been great to me. Sweet, thoughtful, everything. This came out of nowhere. It didn't make any sense. Screw him. I caught Mia shaking her head in the reflection of the mirror and I turned around. My phone buzzed in my back pocket. I slid it out and unlocked the screen. There was a notification on Instagram. Wait, there were five notifications. The first one was a tag. Oh, shit. I tapped on the screen and gasped. Pain ricocheted through my chest and a fresh wave of tears stung the corner of my eyes. The video of Todd dumping me in the cafeteria played on a loop on Matthew's Instagram account. Me standing there, holding that stupid lunch tray, my mouth hanging open. Everything blurred and the phone fell out of my hand. The sound echoed off the tiled bathroom walls surrounding us. Shit, Mia said. She tapped on the screen a few times. I can't untag you from my account, but I reported it. Of course he'd posted it. Me standing there, shock twisting across my face, Todd looking smug. I crouched and picked up my phone. But before the video could play again, another flurry of notifications flooded my screen, including the same video, but from a different angle, Gretchen Mead's angle. She'd tagged me in it too, like Matthew had. Her caption was a single hashtag, lunch dump. No, I shrieked. This can't be happening. People were already commenting. They were mostly using the laughing so hard they're crying emoji. Worst of all, there were a few names I recognized, but a bunch I didn't, which meant I was on track for going viral. I'm the star of a viral video capturing the worst moment of my life. Fan-freaking-tastic. I closed the video on my phone, but it started buzzing over and over again. I tapped on the hashtag. The video had been reposted to at least 30 other accounts. My humiliation was going on display for the world to see. I furiously started untagging myself and blocking the accounts that shared the video. Then I went to my settings and tapped on the screen. Now, no one could tag me in anything. I can't believe they did that, Mia said, coming up beside me. I can. Gretchen is a miserable, mean bitch, and Matthew is an absolute pig. You know what? I said, drying my face. Screw Todd Miller. I'm going to find the hottest date and bring him to every ice festival event and to the ice ball. Yes, Mia said brightly. Then her face fell. But how? It's only a couple of weeks away. You'll see. I shot her a wicked grin as if my plan was already clear in my head, because I actually had no freaking clue.
Chapter 2. Corey. Chaos wasn't only my last name. It was my life. I sagged against my dressing room chair and closed my eyes, trying to quiet my mind. I'd spent the last hour under bright, hot, uncomfortable lights, recording my third talk show appearance this week. I just needed 5 minutes. Yo, Corey! The door to my dressing room burst open, and the stage manager stormed in. He looked like a forest ranger with all the gear strapped to him and cargo pants pockets filled to the brim. What's up, Ranger Rodrigo? Jerk, he said. playfully smacking my shoulder. I don't know how you got so popular online with your sucky attitude. I shrugged. It's what they love. Well, that and the covers I did of old rap and hip-hop songs. Rodrigo smirked. Yeah, well, if the zombies ever come calling, it's my ranger-type preparedness that everyone will love. He motioned to his oversized pockets. I could survive for at least a month out in the woods with the stuff I've got on me right now. I drew in a deep breath and closed my eyes again. While I loved being a YouTube and Instagram sensation, it got tiring. I could never get 5 seconds to myself, not even when my door was closed with a do not disturb sign on the handle and the lights dimmed. Everyone thought they owned a piece of me. Too bad that popularity didn't allow me to play my own songs, the ones I'd written. So, what do you think? I sat up, fully looking at Rodrigo now. Sorry, man. I missed what you said. He shook his head, and the black hair sticking out from beneath his baseball cap flopped against his broad shoulders. Come shoot this one part again, he said. I nodded, not moving from my comfy chair. Give me a sec. He held up his huge hand, splaying his fingers. 5 minutes, man. Ricky Meredith doesn't like to be kept waiting. I waved him off with my middle finger and chuckled. I hear ya. Ranger Rodrigo shuffled out of the room, and I leaned forward in my chair, resting my elbows on my knees. My agent, Jethro, who was a pretty cool guy, had set this up for me. We'd raised $50,000 on my latest Instagram campaign, so Ricky, from the Ricky Meredith Daily Show, wanted me to come on as a guest, play some songs, and chat it up. My phone chimed, and I picked it up from the vanity counter in front of me. I caught my reflection in the mirror and shook my head. I didn't even look like me with all this makeup. Faces were meant to shine. Sweat was meant to show. Then again, I was sporting a massive zit on my cheek, so that was covered. But with all this crap on my face, I looked fake. And maybe I was. All I did was cover other people's songs. I checked my phone and saw it was Rita, my tutor, who had texted me. Rita. Paper on George Washington. Me. I'm on it. Rita. That's what you always say. Rita. Can't pass you without it, Corey. It was the first week back to school after winter break. How could she be talking about failing already? Then again, I had barely squeaked out a C in Algebra 2 last semester. I wasn't so sure about this virtual school and tutor thing. Might be nice to just go back to my normal high school here in L.A., if that was even an option anymore. My chest tightened at the thought of my old friends from school. Damn, I missed some of those guys. Bitching about homework while we hung out at the beach, playing pickup ball at the gym, even though we totally sucked. Dating? Sure, I dated, but it was different. It didn't last. I hadn't found a girl actually interested in me. They were usually more interested in getting seen on my Instagram lives, or getting their picture with me and posting it. I pulled up my assignment on my phone, then tapped open the paper that I'd started. I had to get this. Hey! A tiny blonde girl burst through my closed door, and I jumped out of my chair, almost dropping my phone.
Corey Chaos! Oh my gosh, Corey!
Ranger Rodrigo barged into the room after the girl, and then darted in front of her, his hands up. Back off, miss! My heart shot into my throat, and my hair stood on end. Nothing like a screeching fan barging in to rip you out of your thoughts. The girl leaned around Rodrigo, reaching for me, her fingers wiggling.
Corey!
Her voice was high-pitched and her eyes wide. For such a small girl, she carried around a pretty massive wave of wild energy. Rodrigo shifted more in front of me as I stepped back. I bumped against my chair, which rammed into the vanity. The glass of water I'd set there tipped over, and I jumped to the side to avoid getting wet. My hand darted out, and I grabbed the chair, barely managing to stay upright. Shit, this girl was intense.
I'm going to have to restrain you, miss, if you don't back away from Mr. Chaos.
Mr. Chaos? Man, did that sound weird. I was only 17. The girl backed up, wriggled out of Rodrigo's arms, then tried to dodge him. But he intercepted her, this time curling his arm around her waist and physically keeping her from me. She squealed, still reaching for me.
Sorry, Mr. Chaos,
Rodrigo said, his dark eyes wide and apologetic. He always tried to avoid physically touching someone, but sometimes he had to, in order to keep me safe. It's okay, I smiled and waved to the girl. Bye. She all but melted into Rodrigo's arms with a big sigh and held up her phone. I heard the camera click, and hopefully I didn't look too annoyed. I used to think it was cute, in the beginning, when people recognized me on the street and stuff. But now, it was different. My phone dinged, and then a split second later it rang. Jeez! I yelled and checked the caller ID. Jethro's name and picture filled the screen, and my temper doused a few notches. He was probably checking to see how the taping went. I slid my finger across the screen to answer.
Hey, kid, Jethro said.
I should probably tell him to not call me that, but it actually felt pretty nice. My dad had passed away 5 years ago, and not that my agent was my dad, but sometimes, when he called me that, it reminded me of my old man, so I went with it. Hey, Jethro, what's up?
How'd the show go?
Still going. Have to redo one segment, I guess. I stepped toward the door just as the makeup artist scooted in with her powder brush at the ready. Even though I was already caked up with makeup, she added another layer. I stopped, closed my eyes, and the synthetic bristles brushed against my nose with a couple of swift motions. Heaven forbid any shine peek through.
Oh, okay. Well, how's it going?
Jethro asked. Fine. Pretty much the same as every show. I tried not to move too much. I'd been scolded by makeup artists enough to know better. Sure, I didn't want my zit showing up on the taping, but geez, enough with the makeup.
Well, next up we have... Oh, just a minute.
In the background I heard a girl's voice. Must be Victoria, his 17-year-old daughter, who I'd met a few times before they moved out of L.A. She was funny, sweet, and seemed like a completely normal high schooler, at least according to her Instagram feed. And normal was good. I wanted more normal in my life.
Yeah, sure, Pumpkin Nose, Jethro said. That's fine.
Don't call me that, she said in the background. They were close, and it was nice to see. But it also made me miss my dad that much more. We'd been close, too. Shared our love of music. Things had heated up so much this past year that I hadn't even gotten to write any new songs lately. I didn't have any time anymore. More bristles dusted over my cheeks and forehead. Okay, Mr. Chaos, you're good. I opened my eyes and gave her a nod, then followed her out the door.
Sorry about that, Jethro said.
That's okay. How's the fam? How's Victoria?
Good. Some drama going on, from what I hear from the next room, so I'll figure that out in a second.
Jethro chuckled.
Let's see what I've got lined up for you next.
About the schedule. Any chance we can clear out sometime soon? Like, just have nothing scheduled? I need to get my homework done, man. I've got a killer semester ahead. I said as I pulled my dressing room door shut behind me and stepped into the hallway. It's only the first week of school, and I'm already getting chewed out by Rita.
Want me to talk to her?
No. I want you to get me 5 freaking minutes to myself so I can get stuff done. I cringed at how loud my voice ricocheted off the walls. Sorry,
You sure you're okay?
Yeah. I let out a breath and headed toward the set, but then paused, leaning against the wall as I looked over the staging area. There were people crisscrossing, talking into their headsets, checking their phones, and drinking coffee or eating food. Multitasking at its finest. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Can you do it? I asked. Even if it's a half day, so I can sleep in for once and...
I'm on it, Jethro said. I'll get it worked out.
Thanks, man. Maybe I'd even have some time to write down a few notes to some lyrics that had been rattling around in my head the last couple weeks.
Text me when you're done there and on to the next one.
Will do, and thanks.
I got your back, he said, then hung up.
Chaos! Someone yelled from the set. You're on!
I jumped at the sudden bellow, then put my phone on Do Not Disturb and clicked the screen to black. Time to face the chaos.
Chapter 3. Victoria. The gymnasium vibrated as the juniors and seniors stomped their feet and pounded their hands against the bleachers. Ignoring the knot in my stomach, I zeroed in on the massive fish painted on the opposite wall. The Fighting Pike. What a strange freaking mascot. Focusing on that image was the only thing that kept me from stealing glances at Todd. He was all smiles, sitting next to Matthew, joking around like nothing in his life had changed. Asshole! Me, on the other hand, I'd been rehashing every detail of our relationship since he unceremoniously dumped me at lunch yesterday. Over the last few months, he'd brushed me off at least 3 or 4 times to hang with his family. I hadn't questioned it. I'd assumed he'd been telling the truth. Same with the unanswered texts last weekend. He said he'd fallen asleep early. Yeah, right. He was probably with that other girl. Stop thinking about him. I shook my head and put my focus back on our aquatic mascot, trying to push the image of Todd's face out of my mind, and the way he smelled, and the way his arms felt around me. Mr. Navarro, the head principal, cleared his throat and waited for everyone to quiet down. Our final nominees for Prince and Princess of the Ice Ball are... I dug my nails into my jeans. All of the other nominees had been announced. I'd kept my fingers crossed, silently willing Mr. Navarro not to say my name. 24 hours ago, it had been my dream for Todd and me to be nominated for the Ice Court. Couples rarely made it on together, but every now and then it happened. After yesterday, though, hearing my name paired with his would be nothing but a freaking nightmare. Juniors, Victoria Knight and Todd Miller. And cue the nightmare. The crowd fell silent. Everyone had obviously watched Todd dump me in the cafeteria yesterday, or they'd seen it on Instagram. It was like we were the stars of a reality show I'd never agreed to be on, but here I was, facing the next challenge. If only there were a $50,000 prize at the end of this, it might all be worth it. Maybe. Mia looked at me, a sad wrinkle forming between her bunched brows and her mouth on the verge of pout. Want me to walk down with you? No, I'm good. I drew in a deep breath. I will not let that asshat own me or my emotions. Normally, I didn't care about popularity contests like this, but making the Ice Ball Royal Court was a huge honor. Too bad it meant nothing now. I stood up, fully intending to walk down the steps of the bleachers, but my legs refused to budge. My heart slammed so hard my breath caught in my chest. You got this, Vic, Mia said, nudging me forward. I took my first step, legs shaking, and navigated my way down the creaking bleachers. We were only about 10 rows up from the gym floor, but it felt like a mile away.
Almost like one of those nightmares where the hallway keeps getting longer and longer as you run forward trying to escape.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?